Isn't that a thoughtful little video this morning as we stop and we think about moving in the right direction and having the right pause? As I too can identify with that video in so many ways, because I had a neighbor lady, an elderly lady, who was willing to teach me piano, and I had more things to do other than sit in a hot room on a summer day trying to learn how to play the piano. And later I regret that, but again, moving in the right direction with the right pauses. And I think it's so important for us to understand during this Christmas season, because if there's one thing that interrupts our life at this time of the year, in this month of the year, and that is stress. You know, we have emotional stress that we experience with the burdens of life that we carry. We have financial stress. We know that we want to buy gifts for individuals to make them happy. And at the same time, we have bills to pay and unexpected expenses that come up. And we have relational stress because we come together for family events, and we all know that sometimes in those families that there are those individuals, there's relational stress, amen? And so we have to be very careful at this time of the year to move in the right direction with the right pauses, lest we become like an individual like old Scrooge, or that individual that Dr. Seuss wrote about, that hairy, green, measly creature called the Grinch. Of course, bah humbug was Scrooge's favorite words, and I always liked how Dr. Seuss described the Grinch. He puts it this way: every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one knows quite the reason. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. And really, when it comes down to the Christmas season and what we think about, sometimes our heart is two sizes too small, and we become like Scrooge, we become like Grinch. But the good news even of the Christmas season is, when you get to the end of the stories, both the Grinch and Scrooge experience redemption. They're redeemed. And they come to appreciate the reason for the season, which is Jesus and the whole Christmas spirit. But today we're going to read a passage of Scripture from Luke. Very simply, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" Now I want to go back to that video very simply this morning, and I want us to look at two things that was said in that video. First of all, we need to move in the right direction. Last week, I talked about contentment, and I talked about the Apostle Paul saying how he learned how to press on. He learned how to press on to his high calling, and he learned that there was a difference between happiness and joy, and happiness is oftentimes associated with our circumstances. Do you remember me saying that? And if the circumstances aren't going great for us, if everything's not going smooth for us, if everything's not going fantastic, then we're disappointed and we don't know what happiness is all about. Paul was sitting in a Roman jail when he spoke those words. And he says, "I know what it's like to be rich, I know what it's like to be poor." But happiness is oftentimes associated with our circumstances in life. And I've shared this story, I can't but help think about it, of my nephew, who was very interested, even at 5 years of age, of hammering, you know, with a hammer and nails. How many of you remember that? Guys remember that? I mean, your dad would go out into the shed, and he would take a board and a hammer, and he would hammer, oh, yeah, Kathy, you too. And, you know, your dad would hammer on some boards and nails, and you'd have to have a hammer and nail too, right? And you'd make your little bitty projects. Well, he loved to do that kind of thing. And so my father-in-law, his grandpa, made him a toolbox. And when we gathered together for our family gathering up there in Lana's father's house and mother's house, he came time for him to open his present. And as he opened the present, he was very disappointed, and he was not a happy camper. He sort of tossed it across the room and said, "I don't want this." And you know, there'll be people this Christmas who will open up presents, and they won't like what they get. And they're not going to be happy campers. But friends, happiness, while it's associated with circumstances, we find that joy goes much deeper. Amen? Joy goes to the very heart of the matter and how we're able to experience the joy of the Lord even in spite of all the junk that happens to us. So we have to make certain we're moving in the right direction this Christmas season. I think of three situations in the Scripture. One, we have the wise men or the Magi. And they see this star that's shining in the east, and they mount their camels, and they head out towards this star. They come to Jerusalem, and they stop at the palace of Herod, who's a man moving in the wrong direction. But they ask Herod, they say, we've seen this star in the east. Now we've come to worship him. Where can he be found? What does the prophet say? And the Bible says that Herod, when he heard this, was deeply and grievously troubled. I mean, he was busy about his own life. He was busy about being king. And he did not want to think about any other king being born in his domain that would somehow encroach upon his territory. And what you find about this is that Herod was essentially, it's a control issue. You know, how many of us have issues with control? Don't raise your hands. But you know, we want the control. We want the car. We want the steering wheel. We want the remote. We want control. And I find in my life that I like to be in control. But here is Jesus, he's coming and he's born, and Herod immediately hears these kings from the east saying, we've come to search for this king, and he's saying, well, wait a minute here, if he's the king, then who am I? And he immediately begins to think about how he's going to lose control of his own throne, and so he initiates what is called the slaughter of the innocents. And all two-year-old boys and under are slaughtered for the next several years because he wants to wipe out this threat to his kingdom. So here you have Herod who's moving in the wrong direction. You have the wise men who are moving in the right direction. Plus you also have some lonely little outcast shepherds sitting on a hillside. And as they're sitting on that hillside, you know, just spending some time at the evening of the day watching their sheep, all of a sudden, and I've read this hundreds of times, but how cool would this be if we were sitting out around the campfire at evening and all of the sky burst forth with angels? Wouldn't that be really pretty cool? I think that would just be mind-blowing. And they say to them, you know, we've got some good news of great joy. It's joy to the world. The Lord's come. And what do they do? It says, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's come to pass. And so they got up and they headed off towards Bethlehem. So here you have the wise men moving towards Bethlehem. You have the shepherds moving towards Bethlehem. They're all moving in the right direction. Are we moving in the right direction in this Advent season? Now I stop and I think about how in my own heart, I really believe that the only people who can really enjoy the joy of the season are those who are Christ followers. Those who are intentionally seeking after the Christ child. And it's more than just merely having a one-time decision. Now, it's not that other people can't experience, you know, some joy in this season, but really the Christian, the Christ follower, knows the reason for the season, and it's not just a one-time decision that we make. It's daily denying ourselves, picking up the cross, and following after the Lord. So we have to make certain that we're moving in the right direction. And without moving in the right direction, we'll never hear the notes, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Secondly, we must live with the right pauses, is what the video says. Isn't the pause button a tremendous tool? I really think that's a pretty cool button. I don't know who came up with the pause button, but I want to say thank you, whoever it was. You know, because here you have it on your DVR, your DVD, on your computer screen. And I don't know about you, but you're in the middle of a movie, in the middle of a show, and your stomach starts growling, and you need some refreshments. And so what do? You hit the pause button. Isn't that neat? You don't miss anything. And then you can get up, and you can go back, and you hit the button again, and immediately it begins to replay. The pause button. I'm just so thankful for that pause button. How many of you are Coke fiends? How many of you love Coke? Raise up your hands. I want to see them. All right. How many of you hate Coke? Don't raise up your hands. But anyway, I was raised on Pepsi. Pepsi and Cheez-Its. But then I became a Coke person after they changed the taste to Pepsi. But how many of you remember none of you remember it because you're not that old. But years ago, Coca-Cola had a motto which simply said, the pause that refreshes. The pause that refreshes. You remember that? Man, you must be ancient, Ed. The pause that refreshes. Coke, the pause that refreshes. You know, even Coca-Cola understood the necessity. Here you are, you're out working, sweat's pouring down your face, and there's nothing like taking a pause from your labors and tipping a bottle of Coke to your lips. Oh, man, I had one bottle of Coke left, and I drank it last night, and I was going to use it this morning and just entice every one of you today, you know? But nonetheless, the Coke is they realize that. Last week, after the morning service, I was in here on Monday morning, I believe it was, and I had come up front, and for some reason, I just knelt down at the altar, and my mind got to focusing upon the manger scene with all the characters, the wise men and the shepherds, and the manger scene, and Joseph and Mary, and you know, there's just something about being here in the quietness of the sanctuary and just sort of pausing, reflecting, and thinking, and God just sort of whispering in your ear, you know, the truths of Scripture. Wednesday night, we were preparing for Bible study, and while the rest of the congregation was singing, I was sitting up here in front, and I was staring at the Christmas tree. There's something about lights and ornaments and the reflections that just have always enthralled me, you know, and I just look at this in the quietness, especially we know when the lights are off. There's something that somehow is like the angels speaking to us and God is speaking. It's the pause that refreshes your spirit. Here's Jesus. He comes to this world. He's God in human flesh. He's moved into our neighborhood. He lies there in that manger, but when he grew up to be a man, and even a boy, but a man, you know, crowds would come around him and they would press in on him, demanding that he do miracles and demanding that he pay attention to them. And very simply, what we find is that it says very early in the morning, while it was dark, he would get up and he would go off to a mountaintop and he would pray. Or he would go off into the hillside, and when night comes, he would be there all by himself and he would pray. Jesus understood the importance of a divine pause. He understood the importance of what it means to spend time, connect with his heavenly Father. And I think somewhere along the line, we need to understand that we need not only to move in the right direction, but we need to have the right pauses. And if we don't have the right pauses, we will not hear joy to the world as well. Because it's only as we are like the shepherds, and I go back to those shepherds who gather on that hillside. You know, imagine that again. They were not in the haste. They were not running to open presents. They were not running out to buy presents. They were not in the kitchen baking cookies. They were not trying to wrap presents. They were merely there on the hillside after a busy day, pausing. And it's always ironic. I've always thought about this. Shepherds were at the lowest of the low. They were the low class. Nobody wanted to associate with these stinky, smelly shepherds. And yet it was the shepherds who made sure the people had a lamb to offer as a sacrifice for their sins. That just blows my mind. I mean, people wouldn't associate with the shepherds, but they were dependent upon the shepherds for none other than the lambs that would be offered for their sacrifices. But here they are. They're on that hillside on that quiet evening, and all of a sudden that hillside breaks forth, and they begin to hear the angels sing. They hear the angels sing. And I think one of the greatest tragedies of all is that we can become such a people in our world today who are in such a haste to do this and do that God wants to be with us. He wants to give us the gift of his presence. He wants to give us the present of his presence. And oftentimes we have become too busy to even hear his angels sing or to even hear him speak. And to me, that's a tragedy. So we need to make certain we're moving in the right direction with the right pauses. The same region shepherds are out of the flock keeping watch. They were alert to the ways that God would speak to them that evening. So here's four things I would suggest this morning, and you can take these or leave these if you want. I don't care. But one is we need to make certain that through December we don't overbook. Now, friends, there's so many things for us to do, and I say, you know, do as much as you can. I mean, the holiday festivities and the plays and the concerts and the musical, do as many of them as you can because every one of them speaks to us. But make certain that in the midst of all that, we make certain that we hear God. Don't let them crowd out the voice of God. Don't let them crowd out, you know, the presence of God. So don't overbook. Do as much as you can, but make certain that your priority is still God. And then make time for rest. Because I will guarantee you that probably 80% of you in this room are going to say, man alive, you know, I'm just tired. We get to Christmas Day and we're tired. And if you're like, you know, my wife will tell me that when I get tired, I'm grumpy. I don't know why she says that. I'm not grumpy at all. No, but you know, we find that sometimes we don't have any time to rest, and then we run ourselves to a frazzle, and then we make excuses to God as to why we can't do certain things on his day of rest. This is a day of rest. This day right now is a divine pause that God has created into his week for us to come and to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to focus upon you. Lord, speak to me. And then thirdly, of course, watch your spending. And I don't need to say anything about that, right? Because we all know that, wow, you know, there's all sorts of expenses at this time of the year, and we want to make all of our grandkids happy. But, you know, why should we pay the rest of the year paying for Christmas? I mean, maybe you might want to make them a paper airplane, of course, and write Merry Christmas on it. I know that would be disappointing to them. But very simply, you know, it's not about the money, right? It's not about the gift. I know that I get into that as well because I want to just, you know, grandkids, I want to just give them all sorts of stuff. And Lena is saying, just give them a can of beans or something. No, she's not saying that. But anyway, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right? All right? You know, and so we have to watch our spending. Very simply, we need to be, you know, and then last of all, keep watch, keep alert. Because God speaks in all sorts of ways. He speaks through the lights of a Christmas tree. He speaks through the manger scene. He speaks through a song that is sung. You know, he speaks through a melody of a piano or a guitar. He speaks in all sorts of ways. And the Bible very simply says what? He says, there's been born to you this day the city of David. But they begin it by saying there's news of great joy. News of great joy. Because not only has there been born for you and for me a child who is Christ the Lord, but he's been born, it says, to all the people. To all the people in Selma and Farmland and Muncie and Roundabout. To all the people, there's been good news. Jesus Christ has been born, and he's the one who will liberate us, the one who will redeem us, the one who will restore us. And we hear this story every Christmas season. And sometimes we say it's the same story over. I'm glad it's the same story because I need to hear the same story. Jesus Christ has come, and he's made all things new. And so I need to move in the right direction. I need to move towards the manger. And then I need to pause at the manger. And like the wise men and the shepherds from long ago, bow down and offer him my heart. Offer him my prayers. Offer him my life. Because without him, we have no joy to the world. Are you moving in the right direction? Are you experiencing the right pauses? The Savior's been born. We worship. Precious Lord, we thank you. And we adore you. And I pray that throughout this Christmas season, Lord Jesus, that we will be people who merely say, Lord, without you, we are nothing. You're the greatest gift you've ever been given to mankind. And so, Lord, I pray, help us to be pointed in the right direction. Help us to follow that star in the east. And help us to bow low at the manger. And there help us to know that the one who lies in that manger is the one to answer is the answer to all the world's plights. In him we find peace. In him we find rest. In him we find hope. We praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen. Amen.